Legislature's Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. Today is Wednesday, May 13th, 2015. It's approximately 3 p.m. We are meeting in the Anchorage Legislative Information Office for the purposes of taking public input via public testimony for the performance review of the Department of Health and Social Services performance review that is being conducted in accordance with House Bill 30, which is a statutory requirement that every agency of the state of Alaska be reviewed for its ongoing performance on its annual cycle. Each agency gets reviewed every 10 years. This process for the Department of Health and Human Services was begun at the beginning of this year. We anticipate final reports by the end of the year. The state's Division of Legislative Audit has secured consultants that are working with the Budget Audit Committee. Actually, before I continue, we are not required to have a quorum to conduct business here. I do have Representative Olson with me for the purposes of taking public testimony. We also have online our consulting groups. We have Mr. Jim Waldinger with the Public Consulting Group, and we have Ms. Jenny Wall with Public Works. The Public Consulting Group will be reviewing the behavioral health component and the long-term care component, and Jenny Wall is reviewing the overall organizational administrative structure performance review team. And again, as I get going, I apologize. I also need to recognize that we have Representative Vasquez in the audience with us as well. Welcome. And of course, you're welcome to grab a corner up here if you desire to. I have been informed that we have Representative Keto online in Juneau. Representative Keto, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
All right. Good to have you there. Bob, and we've got Representative Pruitt has shown up as well. Good to have you here, sir. I'd like to confirm, do we have Mr. Waldinger online? Mr. Waldinger, are you online?
Yes, I am, sir.
And thank you very kindly. Appreciate being able to do this for you. And also, I'd like to confirm that we've got Ms. Jenny Wall online. Are you
here?
Yes,
I'm here.
Okay, well, thank you very kindly. Just again, brief introductory remarks for the establishing the record of this committee meeting. You know, the Health and Human Services Agency is by far the largest agency at the state of Alaska, and due to its size and scope, the performance review was focused on three critical components of the Department of Health and Social Services. We've got the behavioral health component, long-term care, and then the department's overall organizational administrative structure. Now, the purpose of these hearings, which are required by statute, is to give the contractors who are performing these performance reviews the opportunity to hear and listen to anyone in the public who desires to place a comment on record with regard to the performance reviews being conducted. We're doing this today here in Anchorage. This is also a statewide teleconference providing opportunity for anyone across the state to participate. Tomorrow we will be in Fairbanks, I believe it's the Fairbanks LIO building, at 10 a.m. to conduct specifically the same hearings in the Fairbanks Arena. At the moment, I see also joining us, I've got Representative Munoz, I've got Representative Wilson. Again, all of you are welcome to sit up at the table if you would prefer or choose to. And I believe Rep. Seaton is online from Homer. Rep. Seaton, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Good to have you, sir. So again, the purpose of this is gathering the public's feedback on the operations and interactions of the Department of Health and Human Services with the community. Specifically, it's not so much, although it's being conducted by our committee, the purpose is to provide that input to our consultants who are online. This is not something that the committee will be taking an individual action on. Also like to note that for anyone listening online and otherwise, this is not a budget subcommittee hearing. This is a hearing strictly on the overall performance, operations, and reaction and interaction of the Department of Health and Services with the community. Again, we are not here debating any issues specifically related to any budget item or budgets of the Department of Health and Human Services. Specifically, we're looking at providing our contractors the ability to review the organizational structure and see if our organizational structure and the way it is being implemented either promotes or inhibits efficiency and effectiveness of the Department of Health and Services in achieving its mission. Lastly, before we go to public testimony, would note that anyone online who wishes to submit written testimony at anywhere on the statewide basis, as this is being broadcast live on our www.akl.tv, we are being streamed live. Anyone watching this can submit testimony to the email address at lba@akleg.gov. Again, for the LBNA committee, lba@akleg.gov. And we've got somebody online that's either shuffling papers or banging their microphone around, so we might try to moderate that if we could. At this point, before we go into public testimony here, I would open this up to any member of the committee with any comments, questions, or concerns for the good of the order.
No questions at this time.
Seeing and hearing none here in the room. Online, Representative Keto or Representative Seaton? Hearing, see none. With that, we will start our public testimony. At the moment, we don't have... we've also been joined by our LBNA member, the good chair of the House Finance Committee, Representative Thompson. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Let's start in the room here. We've got a couple of very familiar faces to those of us in the arena of Health and Human Services. Very happy to have you here with us today. So if we could start our first testimony by Mary Shields, if you wouldn't mind coming forward. Although you're certainly known by reputation, the rest of the world might not know who you are, so if you would please introduce yourself for our record, and the floor would be yours. And again, I sincerely appreciate you coming forward and providing the assistance to our consultants in understanding Department of Health and Human Services and its interaction with the stakeholder communities.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Good afternoon. My name is Mary Shields, and I currently serve as chair of the Alaska Commission on Aging. I also work under contract on occasion down at the Anchorage Senior Activity Center, and have been very involved in other legislation in the past, so quite a few people out there know me. The Commission on Aging is a governor-appointed board under the Department of Health and Social Services with a mission to ensure the dignity and independence of all older Alaskans and to assist them in leading useful and meaningful lives through planning, advocacy, education, and interagency cooperation. The Commission was established in 1982. The Commission consists of 11 members, seven of whom are public members, mostly of senior age, appointed by the Governor to serve four-year terms based on their knowledge and demonstrated interest in the concerns of older Alaskans. The Commission also has four designated seats, including one seat for the Department of Health and Social Services. Duane Mays, Director of the Division of Senior and Disability Services, serves in that position and keeps ACOA informed of the Department's programs and services for Alaska seniors. The Department is an important partner to the Commission on Aging. As Alaska's state unit on aging designated by the Governor, the Department works closely with the Division of Senior and Disability Services and the Commission on Aging to carry out these responsibilities, which include administration of funds for senior programs, development of the Alaska State Plan for Senior Services, advocacy for policies that affect Alaska seniors, outreach, and educational activities. Currently, the Commission is working in close partnership with several of the Department's divisions within the Department of Health and Social Services, including Senior and Disability Services, the Division of Public Health, the Division of Behavioral Health, and others to finalize the Alaska State Plan for Senior Services for the years fiscal years 2016 through 2019. This plan is a requirement that we have to fulfill every year. The current plan expires June 30th of this year. Division staff who contributed to the plan were responsive, honest, and hardworking in their efforts to forecast the needs of seniors for the next 4 years. This plan satisfies a federal mandate for all states to receive funding through the Older American Act for programs serving people ages 60 and over. The forthrightness and their willingness to provide us with the types of information we need to move that plan forward has been incredibly outstanding. The Alaska Commission on Aging, with support from the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska, and the Department of Health and Social Services, collaborated to develop Alaska's roadmap to address Alzheimer's disease and related dementia that was published this year. As a result of our fast-growing senior population, the fastest in the nation and the fastest-growing population group in the state of Alaska, Alzheimer's is one of the most pressing healthcare challenges we face in Alaska today. Several divisions within the department were represented in the roadmap steering committee and will continue to be involved in the roadmap's implementation. Based on my observations, the department is working successfully to provide much-needed programs for seniors in a timely and fair manner. They work hard to address current issues with providers through face-to-face meetings, teleconferences, and email e-alerts. The department is a leader in adopting the results-based accountability management framework. The RBA framework enables the department to deliver quality services while making the best use of public resources and measuring its impact on the health and well-being of Alaska individuals, families, and communities. Using the RBA framework, the department has developed strategies to work across divisions in order to leverage their resources and build more cost-effective programs. During this very difficult fiscal time in Alaska, the department will need to be innovative and make some very difficult funding decisions. We believe that the current leadership of the department is well qualified to take on this very difficult task. Thank you for this opportunity to testify. It's a pleasure to see all you here.
And thank you. You know, Mary, I really do appreciate the time and effort it is to come out and put your comments on the record, too, because so often we do hear, I think our consultants also oftentimes hear so much of the points where people are challenged, have an issue. It's also good to hear when you think something is working right and well in the agency, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you very kindly. And I'll be honest, to me, these testimonies, this public testimony for House Bill 30, and you know, we've not generated a lot of response, but I do have one person online down in Homer who I would like to invite forward at this moment. Mr. Brett Glidden, are you there, sir?
Yes, my name is Brett Glidden.
Oh, sorry about that. Ma'am, are you online?
Oh, yes, no problem.
Thank you very much. But please, we'd love to entertain your testimony, and we have our performance review consultants online who are here to listen and take all your counsel into consideration.
I really don't have much at this time. I'm not familiar with House Bill 30. I basically was under the assumption I was just giving a little bit of testimony about the Department of Health and Human Services in a general way. Is this correct?
That is absolutely correct, and we would be happy to entertain any thoughts that you have as a citizen.
Oh, thank you very much. Then it is appropriate for me to speak.
Absolutely. The floor is yours.
So I'm a citizen of Homer. I have worked for several agencies that do deliver behavioral health services. I'm a certified chemical dependency counselor in the state of Alaska. So I'm coming at my testimony from a point of a service provider and as a citizen, and I do want to begin by saying that I've seen remarkable programs and wonderful things done that have been filled with money filtered through the department. So I would like to start on a positive note, but part of my being here today is that I have most recently taken on a task as part of a local coalition that is looking at our community access to behavioral health services and other related human services. And I have been researching specific grant funding in several areas, but most specifically in the area of substance abuse funding. And I have been working closely with the department to outline the funding we have currently and our resources, and the programming that it's used for. So I need to say that I have hit a couple of walls as a community member that have made it difficult. I feel like with regional funding grants and so forth, it's specifically difficult to find out what's happening with funding in administration versus programming. I'm coming at this not from an audit point of view, but from a concerned community member with a lot of experience in nonprofits specifically and being on boards and understanding some fiscal responsibility and agencies. And I've been frustrated at several points at the lack of transparency when I try to determine how much money is specifically allocated for our region and to what extent. So maybe what I really want to comment on is that there's a little bit of a difficulty between interfacing the general community members with the department and finding out anything but the general figures that anyone can find out. So it's sort of with the representatives, I'm constantly asking questions, and then I have to be, I don't get a response back. For this past time, it was almost a month, and so I then went back. So I think I'm looking for a little bit more of a user-friendliness in interfacing with the agency as a whole.
Well, gee, the type of testimony you're providing is exactly what we're looking for, and we very much appreciate it here. Anything else you'd like to add to your thoughts here?
No, I believe that kind of says it all. I feel like I shouldn't have to work so hard to get some of the answers for some of what is given to public agencies. That's kind of it. I feel like I shouldn't have to have a degree in a specific area to get the answers. Thank you so much for your time today.
Well, that's great. I think you said it all when you concluded with your comment that you're looking for a more user-friendly agency here. So I definitely appreciate your providing your testimony, Ms. Glidden. So thank you again very, very kindly. So with that, we'll return ourselves back to the room in another very familiar face. David, if you wouldn't mind coming forward, we've got Mr. David Morgan, and you know how we do things here. If you would mind introducing yourself for the record, and
I brought a timer.
There is no time on this one. You may speak to us as long as you would like, sir.
Okay. Well, I thought that's why Representative Pruitt ran out. The last time I talked, I went over because I was calling in. And
well, we got rid of him.
So. Had a little shouting. My name's Dave Morgan. I'm the founder and director of the Alaskan Center for Healthcare, Sustainable Healthcare Spending and Policy. But for last 31 years, I've worked as in healthcare finance in the state of Alaska, culminating in 15 years at South Central Foundation, working with Dr. Eby. I was a member of the Alaskan Healthcare Commission, the second person appointed, and for the last 6 years, I've been the chairman and also or a member of the Municipality of Anchorage Healthcare Commission. I'm a fellow of the National Fellow of the Healthcare Financial Managers Association, and on and on and on and on and on. So basically, what I wanted to talk about is not what's been discussed in the last couple of weeks, but I really want to talk about the overview of the management and the philosophy of our health and human services departments. Overall, we know that it's unsustainable. But more important, the real question, as Dr. Ward Herbert would say, is what is the quality and what are we getting for our dollars? If you actually add up what you pay in insurance, which I think you guys know, but I just want to say it, for your employees that work for you and your retired employees and Medicaid, not counting the federal Medicaid dollars and grants, we're basically spending about $2.6 billion on health care. Then you add in Indian Health for another $800 million, community health centers for $40 million, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, till you get, and when you throw in VA, you're at $7.6 billion. There's only 750,000 of us. So when you really look at this, and probably what will really make you happy is I'm not really here asking for to increase money or to get money. What I think we really need to talk about is the overall management philosophy and what are we trying to get done here. I will only use an example of the legislative audit, the affidavit that we've looked at, that we see real confusion, real collisions, and some not necessarily a clear metric or goal. So when I look at the report you do have from your office management and budget, key performance indicators, when I was doing some work for Commonwealth North, I wrote a lot of the sections on health care for the Commonwealth North physical study. When I would talk to individuals in the department, they didn't even know you had such a report, and they worked there. Surprising, isn't it? When I talked to John Boucher, who does the report, I actually found inconsistencies of data, especially cost data, but operational data, that sometimes conflicted with presentations that's been given to the legislature on projections, which shouldn't surprise you guys. You probably can give me 50 examples. But I think it needs to come from someone outside of the political sphere in that. What I think I would like to see change is not a reorganization of the chairs of who's going to pay. I don't want to see slick organizational chart so we've moved things around and they're different colors. I think what we really need to do is transform what we're trying to do and develop a system that meets the needs of the people that are getting the services. I personally, and it probably will surprise a lot of people, I'm a firm believer in the NUCA concept. The NUCA concept matches up what you're trying to do and brings in statistics, possibly, but more important, the style and the philosophy of the care. And when you do it, like using HEDA standards, you can actually drop costs 30% and 40%. And I think what would behoove this committee more than anything else, or any committee from the legislature and the leadership, and I see them a lot sort of over in here, you know, they kind of like all come in and kind of in here, to sit down and spend a day locked in a room and have Dr. Eby, Dr. Tierney, and a couple other individuals. I mean, if they're going to London, if they're going to Iceland, if they're going to Europe, if they're going to Harvard to present this concept of care, which increases the quality, because that's what this is about, health, whether it's community health, public health, or health in a hospital for an organization. The goal here, the concept here, is to give people the health care they need and want to use best evidence medicine and to improve, believe me, you'll improve the quality. I've seen it work at the NUCA and also at an 8-staff model co-op HMO I worked at in Kentucky that was started in 1905. And you will lower cost simply because you're improving health. You get cost when you use the systems, not when the healthier they are, the less the cost will be.
David, for those of us that don't know the acronym, I presume NUCA, N-U-C-A, is that?
It's a native word sort of meaning health. It's a concept. They have an institute. And it's basically a philosophy of care management, but it's not telling people what to do. It's developing systems to let them avail of activities that will make them healthier. Like, let's just take diabetes for an example. Maybe we'll walk through an example. I didn't bring a pie chart or puppets or anything because I thought we had 3 minutes. You take diabetes, you go into the program, you're evaluated, work with, given a coordinator, case manager, whatever you want to call it, but it's not a, this is what you're going to do, this is what we think we need to do to keep you out of the emergency room, to not have to change your prescriptions a lot, and to keep you out of a bed. HEDIS is a format that you can take a diagnosis, and if you do these things health-wise, monthly, quarterly, yearly, like if they a certified Medicare, diabetes, Medicaid, health, nutrition, education program that teaches them how to check their blood, how to do their diet, have cooking classes. It's a whole lot of fun, actually, because I went through it. You will actually make them healthier, reduce the dependency and changing of medications. You'll actually see ER room visits go down. You'll actually see bed days go down, and you'll see an evening out of the script or prescriptions. It's some of the hardest work health professionals can do, but it really pays off in healthier populations or individuals and lower costs. That's, you know, you guys know. It's the cost of beds, it's the cost of ER rooms, and it's the cost of pharmacology. If you can attack that with primary care, HEDIS measures, whatever, and reshape that delivery and work on health care, you'll get there. It takes a couple of years, but my own personal view, throwing more money at it just creates more problems. I would recommend that an evaluation based on the key performance indicators you have, which is a good start, but the work with the NUCA Institute, and begin to develop these programs for your Medicaid program for community and public health, and work also integrated into your insurance programs for your employees. They'll ask for it if it becomes successful, and your retired employees. That is the way to do this. Instead of adding a bunch of new programs, I would take your $2.6 billion and fix that through your health professionals you have in Health and Human Services. That's where you got your talent. The other programs are purely administrators processing paper, really. And have a team effort there and a change in philosophy. I think your commissioner for Health and Human Services well understands that. She was exactly, I worked with her on some VA contracts, and she's been there for 12 years, and her family went through the program. So I think if I could do anything with your consultants, would be to take them, put a hood over their head, take them up to the campus, exactly 4 miles from here, take them into Dr. Eby's operation and say, you can't leave for a week. I want you to look at this and go through the NUCA training, which they have quarterly or every 6 months, and come back with a different philosophy of integrating a program to develop better health for everybody, including you guys, if it was me. So as we say in Kentucky, I've said my piece. I guess I'll go to church now. But the basic, by the way, I went down to the Derby, and unlike last year where I won, I lost $200. So if that's any consolation, Representative. But that's what I would do. I know that's lofty, but hey, if you ain't got some great goals, you'll never get there. So,
David, thank you very much. We do appreciate that. Hearing no questions for David. Was there anyone else here in the room that wanted to testify that wasn't on my sign-up sheet? Hearing, see none there. Is there anyone else online who wanted to testify?
I'm sure. At ease.
At ease.
Yeah, I like it.
Testimony for our Department of Health and Human Services performance review contractors. So, Representative Vasquez, the floor is yours. And if you would, of course, follow the drill, put yourself on the record, and we'd be happy to spend as much time as you'd like with us.
No, Representative, it'll be real quick. My name for the record is Elizabeth Vasquez. I testifying as a citizen and not as a representative of the legislature. I do have a law degree. I have 2 masters of administration, MBAs, one of them in healthcare services administration, another one in finance, and I spent several years at HESS doing various things, including supervising the Office of Hearings and Appeals and doing Medicaid work. So I have a passion for healthcare. One of the things I would like these auditors to look into, and it's an area that is often overlooked by the medical profession, is...
Liz, excuse me for interrupting you there, but that's a word we've got to be careful with, is we are not performing an audit of the agency, and these are not auditors. These are a performance review contractor, and in the CPA and accounting world, the difference is, like, really important to our state auditor.
Yes,
so
right.
It is a... And I
review.
Am, I do as I say, not as I do, because I use the wrong word all the time. But our performance review contractors.
Yes. And I apologize that the word audit has a distinct definition, and it's not appropriate in this case. But I would like them to look into prevention. There's a lot of research out there that indicates, for example, and I know Representative Seaton is very knowledgeable in this area, about how low levels of vitamin D can contribute to mental depression, certain diseases such as cancer, and that's just to start. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of reports on the correlation between low levels of vitamin D. That's just an example. There's also extensive studies done on the low levels of B12 and certain B vitamins and diseases and mental performance and mental inability to cope. The other thing that I would like them to look at is how we're going to make the system sustainable. I think these programs are absolutely a gem. We are very lucky. Historically, we have had resources other states have not had, so we've been able to fund nicely a lot of these programs that a lot of states do not, cannot, and have not afforded to provide. And so looking, how do we make them sustainable for the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and how are we doing in comparison to other states? That's very critical in my mind. We do know that our aging population, as previously testified to by Mrs. Shields, and through some research I have read, that the largest growing population segment in Alaska is our senior population. And with that, we have certain things like dementia, Alzheimer's, the rate increases as we age. That's a fact. So looking to see how we can deal with this without breaking the budget, because right now we have a Medicaid budget that's not sustainable. So how do we put sideboards, and how do we look into more prevention? Are there any questions? I'm just testifying as a citizen. I'm very passionate about health care.
And so I will refer to you as Ms. Vasquez.
Yes.
So Ms. Vasquez, I don't see questions from the committee, but is there anything else you'd like to advise our consultants of while you're here and have the opportunity?
No, I'm delighted to see this review, frankly.
Thank you.
And the cost of nursing homes, by the way, is very disconcerting. What is it that we can do to make these more affordable, this care? Because we'll probably need more of this type of care in the future, given our aging population.
Representative Pruitt, sir.
So, thank you, Representative. Sorry, Ms. Vasquez. So you've hit on you've got a long history with the department. You've got a lot of history with the medical field. You hit prevention, which I think is great, and as well as you, of course, you highlighted the nursing homes. Something tells me that there you probably could identify other things that this committee probably may not be aware of. Is there, before you leave, I'd hate to have you leave and not make, you know, give you another opportunity to think about, are there other areas where you've had experience when you were with the department outside that you think that our review committee could really benefit from looking at? Of course, prevention is a really important piece, but maybe is there, are there certain certain department that you've worked with, that you felt that maybe they weren't working to the highest efficiency, and we could direct our review team to go dig in a little bit more into their operations?
Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to submit those questions from my office as representatives, and as Representative Vasquez, yes, I would have some meaningful feedback to provide. I could do that in writing and submit that to the committee.
And our consultants, I sure would be very, very happy to take that from you. Very, very happy to take that.
Okay. Thank you. And yeah, because I was involved in several reviews in the long-term area and Medicaid. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for that opportunity.
And you're very, very welcome, Representative Ms. Vasquez. Also, online, we have Representative Prevention himself, Seaton, who would like to talk. Representative Seaton, are you there with us, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Representative Paul Seaton, House District 31. And I did want to comment as a member of the legislature who's been there for a while. And what I wanted to do was have the performance review look at the department's ability or its follow-through on what we unanimously in the House and the Senate passed in 2011. That was HCR 5, which called on the state to go to prevention of disease as a primary model for healthcare. And the previous administration did little or nothing to advance prevention of disease in our state. And so I am thinking that that is something that, since the legislature spoke so strongly on that issue and it was ignored by the department, that I think that that's something that should be looked at. And I think that there should be a look also at the current administration to see if they are being more proactive on moving in the direction that the legislature called for in that 2011 resolution. So I hope that that's appropriate to come forward with, but I think that that's one thing that we can definitely say we didn't get much action on. I know that when I talked to the previous commissioner, they cut a little spot that they said that they were thinking about airing on public radio, but which I never heard, that said some people, you know, some research thinks that there may be levels of vitamin D that might be low in Alaska, and you might want to check with your doctor to find out. And that was not a very very big push for something that unanimously came out of the legislature, and also that we cited 37 studies that directly affected health in the Alaska population. So I guess I am somewhat concerned of that. I'd also like to comment that, you know, the standards of care that we use for Alaska and in the public health system are not being based on comparison of best available data, best available science, but a high standard is being placed on change from the status quo, even though there's little evidence to justify those current status quo levels, especially in nutrition, such as vitamin D, and I'm pleased to hear previous testifier talk about that as well. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the ability to talk to the committee and the performance review folks, and I look forward to their report. Thank you.
And thank you, Representative Seaton. Around the committee again, is there anyone else on the committee who would like to address our consultants? Representative Keto, yourself?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to do, at this point, a round robin of the room and the microphones again, and if we have no one else to testify, we will adjourn this meeting and then move to Fairbanks at 10 o'clock in the morning. Would you like to come with us, Representative Townsend?
No, I have a meeting here at 1 p.m. tomorrow, so.
Well, we'll hold it up for you.
My chief of staff would like to go home. She hasn't been home in 5 months now.
I understand. So, back to the room here. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to testify? Hearing see none. Is there anyone who has joined us online who would like to testify? Hearing see none there. Going to our two consultants, if I take a deep breath here and give you a fair warning. Jim Waldinger, are you online with us, sir?
Yes, I am.
Is there anything you'd like to say about your work and here with the performance review for the purposes of establishing a permanent record?
Sure thing. I could give you a bit of an update as to where we are right now, if that would be appropriate.
I would very much appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure thing. Just to let you know, I'm also joined by a colleague of mine on the line, Sarah June, who has been up in Alaska a few times over the past couple of months. So over the past few months, we have been collecting a decent amount of information and data and talking with quite a few state staff and with many providers up in Alaska. We've had about three or four separate trips made by our two teams, one team for the Behavioral Health Performance Review and the other for the Long-Term Care Performance Review. And we've been meeting with as many people as we can to get a very broad view of both of the systems, what's working, what might need improvement. I would like to say that both the state staff and the providers have been extremely accommodating and very helpful and we believe quite open with the conversations with us, so we very much appreciate that. So we're putting all of that type of information together, and we've been on the public hearings to date, and we'll be on the line tomorrow again in Fairbanks to listen to the comments and the discussion that's taking place, to be able to pull all of that together with everything that we're learning. And then over the coming weeks, we will be working with our staff, our partners at the Division of Legislative Audit, to start to formulate some of our findings and recommendations. So as we head into summer, you will likely start to see some of those come out. So that is where we are right now. Thank you very much for the opportunity to listen in on these public hearings.
And Jim, thank you very much. And again, we're very much looking, and Sarah, thank you very much. Looking forward to getting back with you tomorrow. We also have our other consultant. I guess I don't know if I made it clear that the performance reviews, and just for the record, are actually performed by the state's legislative auditor, our state auditor, but they engage these contractors to provide additional mission-specific knowledge on the agencies that they're looking at, such as when we did the Department of Corrections. We had a nationally reputable, very renowned firm on corrections across the country providing input and information to us. And that's what these folks here are doing with us. So at the end of the day, the final reports will ultimately be a legislative product to the state's legislative auditor. I've also got Jenny Wall with our company called Public Works. And Jenny, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Jenny, would you like to add anything to our record today?
Certainly. I'll just keep my comments brief. My name is Jenny Wall. I'm with the Public Works team. Public Works has assisted state and local governments and individual agencies in over a dozen states across the country to complete performance reviews such as these. We are specifically working on the organizational and administrative portions of this performance review. Our status right now is that we are completing our field work, which has included extensive interviews with staff at all levels reviewing departmental data, and we're also in the process of conducting comparative and best practices research among comparable agencies in other states. That's about where we're at. Is there anything else that you'd like me to add?
No, I think you've got us covered there. Did anyone on the committee have questions for either of our contractors? Well, hearing, see none. Going once, going twice, going three times. I haven't seen anyone else show up in this room that would like to testify. Has anyone else shown up online that has not had a chance to testify that would like to testify? Well, hearing, see none. I really appreciate everybody's participation today, and we will be adjourning this meeting and then reconvening tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. in the Fairbanks LIO for the Fairbanks portion of this public input process. So with that, we'll stand adjourned.